Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Sports Radio 610 presents Clint Sterner and the show with the biggest stories of the day. It's the Big 3 at 3, number one.
All right, man. There's college football is on the line right now, it looks like. And this was earlier today, Clint, from the Detroit Free Press, that the Big Ten has voted to cancel the 2020 college football season in a historic move that stems from concerns related to the ongoing coronavirus pandemic. Multiple people with knowledge of the decision have confirmed it with the Detroit Free Press. Then later on, Nicole Arbach reports of The Athletic. She says Big Ten spokesman says no vote has been held by our presidents and chancellors. There is a meeting that's supposed to happen tonight at 5 o'clock between the powers in the Big Ten. So, listen, for those who love college football and want to see college football played this year, this is enormous how the Big Ten handles it.
Look here, somebody's lying. Somebody got some bad sources, right? Somebody somewhere got one of those old unnamed source or per source, guys out there. Somebody got a bad one. And so, that first and foremost, that's what's going on. But look, man, with this particular situation, I think the players, the college football players right now are banding together and they're really pushing on social media to play. The Big Ten in particular, I think every coach in the Big Ten at this point in time has come out via social media and said that they want to play and they're standing with their players and they all want to play, to the point of Scott Frost, the damn head coach for the Nebraska Cornhuskers. Word on the street is they're out there looking for opponents, man.
Trying to have an independent type of schedule for them. Because he said they would lose between $180 and $200 million if there is no season whatsoever. And that crushes their ability to pay for things.
It's very interesting show with what the Big Ten's doing, because they could have you feel like the next step would have been, okay, let's push the start date back to late September like the SEC did and give us a little bit longer to meet, a little bit longer to figure out how does the NFL, handle this thing over the next few weeks, the next month. But instead, they just jumped from all go, all conference schedules to, we're not going to play at all is what it appears at this point in time. Nothing's official, but it appears that that's what's going on in the Big Ten. Keep your eyes on this one, folks.
Yeah,
it's hot.
Detroit Free Press came out, said it. Dan Patrick announced it on his show. It is hard to believe that those things, those places would say that. It is just, guys, SEC, Big 12, look out, which are hugely involved with the schools around this state and the fan bases here. Telling you, if the Big Ten shuts it down, I am convinced the Pac-12 does anything that the Big Ten does. Now you got those two power conferences out. It is hard to see how the SEC, ACC, and Big 12 will just say, we're going to keep on going when those two conferences sit it out.
Yeah, it's usually a domino effect, right? It just trickled down, and eventually the last man standing ends up having to fold his hand, ends up having to follow suit. But when it's all said and done, man, I read some remarks from The SEC commissioner, Greg Sankey, it sounds like, you know, that he's at least saying all the right things in terms of they're listening to everybody involved. It's a constant effort to stay up on what is going on in football around the country at all levels in COVID-19. And the SEC, as of now, is planning on playing. So you hope it's not the domino effect that you typically see, or at least that we've seen over the last 6 months.
Big 3-3, number 2.
All right, yesterday it wasn't enough that the Astros got swept against the A's over the weekend. Then there was a bit of a tango, a bit of a brawl between the A's and the Astros in front of the Astros bench from Alex Citron, the hitting coach. I don't even want to say his name correctly after what he did. The hitting coach challenging Lariano, the outfielder for the A's, to whatever, where they ended up fighting over there near the dugout.
Did they really?
I mean, that for baseball, that was a fight. What did you normally
dudes
see?
Dudes ran clear across the diamond to stand around and look at each other. And big boy from the Astros, the Citron, the hidden coach.
Yeah, he just puts a player in front of him.
He stepped up on that top step and then let everybody step in front of him. If that wasn't the most baseball thing to do, I don't know what is.
That was a fight for baseball, though. For baseball, somebody went down to the ground physically. That was a fight.
A perfect tackle by Garneau, man.
It was a beaut. It was a nice tackle. But
he knows how to wrap up. He wrapped up well.
That was the embarrassing finish to the weekend for the Astros.
Yeah, when you just think it couldn't get any worse, is something like that pops. I mean, look, this is – we talked a little bit earlier about Dusty Baker and about the way that the organization's being ran with Dusty Baker as the manager. And you know, I think it's not a good look, and I don't like it. All of the – you know, him popping off constantly from the dugout, and now this Alex Citron obviously stepping to the top step and calling a player out to the extent where the player says screw it and charges. The player was – Lariano, he was cool, calm, and collected all the way down there. In fact, he had a great response to getting hit multiple times versus the Astros. He was bopping the old wrist like that. You got to break that. You got to snap that pitch right there off to get it to break. I thought it was pretty creative. And then somehow, some way, he went from being funny and having a sense of humor about getting hit three times in a series to literally mad rushing, bum rushing the dugout. I know it's not a good look. I think the Astros can overcome that aspect of it. The on-the-diamond stuff, they're going to have a hard time overcoming, baby.
Citron should get suspended more games than Lariano.
I agree.
However that shakes out, and I'm telling you, we want to keep an eye on that too, Clint, because Little Shot Rob has said he's trying to be real serious about players coming off the bench and running out of the field, and there were a lot of players from both teams that were out there clear across.
There's so much footage out there, video footage out there right now. You can clearly see what happened. You can clearly see that the player was being the bigger man. Citron wouldn't shut his mouth. And once the switch flipped, it was over. But I agree with you. I think you look at the totality of the situation, the player on the diamond handled it well.
And then the coach instigated it first.
Instigated it, and it was on and on and on and on. It wasn't just once.
He did step up to the top.
Yeah, it was too much.
Like, let's go.
It was too much.
Big 3-3, number 3.
All right, Clint, the Rockets picked up a couple of victories this weekend. They've won the Southeast Division. Nobody cares about divisions in the NBA. I saw that come across. I said, they did? They won the Southeast Division. But – bigger news, Mike D'Antoni spoke with the media and said that James Harden is likely out just due to rest in the game tomorrow. But Russell Westbrook, who's missed the last two games against the Lakers and against the Kings last night, will play. And even bigger, Clint, Eric Gordon likely will play on Wednesday night. Harden out Wednesday, but Westbrook returns. He's got a bit of a quad injury, and then Eric Gordon returns after badly spraining his ankle in practice in the bubble.
And Austin Rivers is out there dropping 41 on him. Come on, show.
Listen, I, along with other Rockets fans, I'm telling you, I'm going to give you a piece of advice. Do not allow Austin Rivers to get you like this. Don't do it. Austin Rivers, I blame you as a jerk for doing what he did yesterday, because now it starts to make you feel and think stupid and think crazy. Like, man, what if Austin Rivers is bringing it like this? What if Austin Rivers, is he gonna give us 20 off the bench? I'm not gonna allow Austin Rivers to make me think that he could do that.
Well, then,
41
look,
points. No, I'm not gonna allow.
I'm 20 off the bench every night. That's a little bit much with this group. I'll agree with you. But man, what him and McLemore and Daniel House and all of these, I guess, second tier Rockets. No disrespect, but the guys that aren't starters they're starting one game here and not starting the next game. They're in that rotational fifth spot. I mean, look, man. The key is D'Antoni's going to be able to play more than seven or eight players if he wants to.
I, for 15 seconds watching that game, thought, damn. If
so
Austin,
you gave him 15 Austin, seconds?
For 15 seconds, I lost it a little bit in my mind. Like, God, if Austin Rivers is bringing it to the table like this, he turns this into a whole nother. And then I stopped myself. Hell no, I'm not going to let Austin Rivers get me into thinking craziness. I tell you who we need to look at, Clinton. You keep saying, oh, don't worry about P.J. Tucker. He's going to continue. All right. Well, P.J. Tucker again last night, 0 for 4 from 3, and now 9 for 30 in the bubble from 3. They're not shooting in different arenas. Is this going to be the same? There's going to be no crowd. There's going to be no that same shooting background. I am a little concerned about P.J. Tucker because he has to be on the floor for
this. I'm not concerned about P.J. Tucker, but you make a great point is that P.J. Tucker is the one that, boy, if his shots aren't falling – he really hurts the team because he's got to be on the floor. I mean,
he's
simply a
defender.
Guy that's got to be on the floor in this small ball approach. And so, yeah, I mean, he's a guy that you're going to have a hard time. You're going to have a hard time if his shot's not falling on the offensive end of the floor and you just flat out got to have him on the defensive end of the floor.
Yeah, I just think the way they want to run small ball, I believe it was Jeff Van Gundy who was saying it the other night, was like the reason why they work so well is because everybody on the floor at all times can shoot threes, except Russ, but he's going to keep shooting them. But everybody can shoot threes, and when P.J. Tucker can't, you sag your guy off for Russ and Harden, and they can't get in the lane as much. And like you said, it's not like, hey, man, all right, P.J.'s not making shots, so we're going to take him out, put in – no, we ain't going to take him out.
PJ's going to keep shooting.
He's got to defend the best inside player for the team. So he has got to pick it up. 9 for 30 since he's entered the bubble. Another 0 for 4 last year.
You don't worry about George Springer and you don't worry about PJ Tucker from the corner.
Look at Russ's outfit right now, baby. I love it when Russell Westbrook comes 4 buttons down and just gives you all that chest. If I didn't have these soft pecs and man boobs, I would be 3-4 buttons down all the time.
I'm surprised you ain't 2 anyway, to be honest with you.
I would be, man, but I keep seeing how Rick Ross looks, and I don't want to look like that. All right, there is an excuse that's being given for one of the stars of the Astros who is just struggling mightily, and I don't think this excuse holds any water. We'll express what that is coming up next.
It's Clint Sterner and the show.
I think it's unfair to talk about these receivers and go, well, yeah, they can all run. They're all deep threats. The combination is what's nasty. They know how to go deep. They know how to use that speed to create opportunities with other routes, which in turn show whose job does that make significantly easier?
I got to believe number 4.
Deshaun Watson.
Texans training camp is happening now. Clint Sterner and the show. Weekdays at 2. Houston's sports leader, Sports Radio 610.
Clint Sterner and Ron, the show, Ugly here for you again, baby. We got to tell you about Low T Center. We want to really encourage all the men out there, man. You got to take care of your health. It's more important now than it's ever been. And here's the deal at Low T Center, man. They're reinventing the doctor's visit for us out there, fellas. Making it quick and easy to get all of your levels checked. It's not just testosterone levels, man. They offer a comprehensive health assessment so you know all the numbers that are important to each and every one of us. Show, my man, he visited one of the clinics here in the Houston area. How'd it go, man?
Like you said, man, they check everything. Blood pressure, sleep apnea, give you a full assessment.
Texans training camp is happening now. Sports Radio 610 presents Clint Sterner and the show.
Yeah. That's a good one right there, boy.
All right, man. Tyler didn't play none of this while you was gone, and I asked him to, and he didn't. I'm not playing that country.
I mean, I can't help you two wasn't raised right.
Y'all don't listen to him, Clint. That. He's trying to get y'all riled up.
Don't listen to him. No, yeah, I am trying to make a split. Tyler disagrees with everything Clint says, so yeah, I'm trying to say
that is not true, man.
Everything you do.
Y'all can make this personal if you want, but the truth of the matter is y'all just aren't as fond of country music as I am. In fact, you're not a fan at all, and it really bothers me, but we'll move on.
Well, and it worked. Yes. And it worked. He added you in there, too. Yep. I need us to be all even.
How you cannot appreciate Cody Johnson?
I think it's beyond me.
It's beyond me.
It's a terrific fellow. One thing that Houston's not appreciating right now is the play of Jose Altuve. I tell you that. That's one thing. And Ed Dusty has talked about it as well. Dusty Baker has talked about
Baker bomb.
You did not.
It's a drop.
You son of you Baker did bomb. Not. Oh, you. Oh, I hate your guts.
See that? You see that high pitch, Baker bomb?
I hate your damn guts. You're not going to start. No, it's not good.
Oh, it's
nobody.
Great.
Nobody. Everybody. I know it. 713-572-4610 will text in and talk about. Stop, guys. Don't make the.
Well, nobody's going to appreciate anything about Baker right now. I mean, let's be honest.
Nobody.
You think somebody's going to call and be like, man, I love Dusty Baker. Baker bomb. No, I mean,
no,
Baker
bomb.
But bombs.
Nobody's going to. But everybody will appreciate saying, no, man, that ain't a good thing, the Baker bomb. Why are you trying to push that?
I think it's a good thing.
We went with Bulldog Taylor.
That's right. See there?
How is he always ready?
See, he's really quick, isn't he? That's good stuff, man.
We went with Taylor. We went with Bulldog Taylor. But no, we're not going with that Baker bomb.
Yeah. I mean, it's going to happen.
Anyway, even
he
Dusty.
He apparently dropped one on the umpire yesterday.
Yeah, he did. A few of them. He almost choked on that toothpick that he had underneath that mask. You know he had one in there. But even Baker is not happy with Jose, or not that he's happy, but understands how much he is struggling. And I don't want to give Jose Altuve an out for his poor play, Clint. I think a lot of people are trying to make the jump that maybe Jose Altuve is just really not dealing with everything that happened in the offseason with the sign stealing stuff and all of that situation. And he was in the middle of it, really blamed for it with the people talking about that he had a buzzer because he didn't want to take his. There are a lot of people, I saw it on Twitter. I heard Landry and Lopez kind of pushed towards it earlier today on In the Loop. I just don't agree with that, and I don't want to give him an out, Clint. I don't see where he is waking up every day. Oh, my God, that sign stealing. Every time he comes up to the plate or he goes into the field, he's thinking, oh, God, that sign stealing. We didn't get. Who's talking about it? There are no fans. Nobody is coming at him about it. I don't think it has anything to do with the sign stealing. I think he's just sucking right now.
Yeah, I agree. I totally agree. I mean, there's no way you're going to convince me that the sign stealing scandal is such a big deal in Jose Altuve's mind right now that he's going to the plate and it's affecting the way that he's swinging the bat. I can't in any way, shape, or form agree to that or see where that's possible. I mean, right now, you know who Jose Altuve reminds me of right now? Right this minute, what I've seen this season?
Who?
2019 Jameis Winston.
Okay.
To hell with it. Had a lot of success. Won a national championship.
30 interceptions.
That's it. Won a championship in the past, making poor decisions. Hell, he won a Heisman too. Did he win a Heisman too?
I think Jameis won.
Did Jameis win a Heisman?
I'm pretty sure.
I know he won a championship.
That year he won the championship. Who? What? I think it had to have been.
I don't think because he's a. What if, anyway, the fact is Jameis Winston. He's had a whole lot of success. Been clutch as hell. Had a whole lot of success, but he just keeps on slinging. Just won a Heisman, won a championship and a Heisman. Had a lot of success.
Just keeps
on slinging that thing to the tune of the team that drafted him in the first round gives him every chance under the sun to be the franchise quarterback, and he just keeps on gunslinging and throws 30 interceptions and 30 touchdowns in a season and doesn't ever wake up and go, hey, man, you can't – like that's – you can have some success doing that. I get it. But you can't just keep on – at some point you got to wake up and go, hey, man – I got to be aware of my situation. The 2020 Altuve for this small window of baseball that we've watched over the last two or three weeks reminds me of Jameis Winston. He goes up there. It don't matter. To hell with the fact that he's clearly not swinging the bat well. And to hell with just get up there, try to see it well, just make some good contact with it. Forget about the fact there's a guy on second, it's extra innings, and if he scores, you win the game. Screw that. Whether we're talking about your personal situation and how you're just having a tough time swinging the bat, you have a tough time at the plate right now, or we're talking about the game is on the line and the situational baseball just says that you push the ball to right field. Mm-mm, none of it. To hell with all of it. I'm going to come out of my shoes when I swing, regardless. It don't matter if it's an off-speed pitch, it's down and away. I'm going to come out of my shoes swinging for the fence.
No,
it's Jameis Winston.
I think Jameis. Come on, Tyler. Jameis Winston's a little strong. You know what? Don't even answer. I already know your answer. He's just going to say, you know what? I think it is Jameis. He's not putting W's in his mouth yet.
Well, no, he's not. He's not a lunatic. I'm just talking about his performance. No, he's not half a bubble off. I think Jameis Winston's half a bubble off. I mean,
crab legs at that.
Yeah, no, he ain't doing any of that. I'm talking about. I'm talking about the.
How did he want to eat a W?
There you go. I'm talking about just his approach to the game, like the way Jameis Winston just went out there time and time again,
free spirit,
threw 30 interceptions, and then said he's one of the best quarterbacks in the game. I think after that, like Jose Altuve's just going up there just swinging as hard as he can, coming out of his shoes every single time, regardless of the situation. And it's how long does this happen? How long do you watch these kinds of at-bats before you go, hey, I know Jose Altuve and what you've done in your past, but man, today on Monday, we got to approach some things a little bit differently maybe.
Clint Sterner in the show here on Houston Sports Leader Sports Radio 610. Jose Altuve, he is struggling like hell, but I don't think it has anything to do with him pressing because of the scandal or that's bothering him. I don't know that I believe he's Jameis Winston, but still,
you don't think, right?
I'm trying to. I really am. You're not pulling it from the fact that, oh man, he's coming out every God. This is it.
No.
I'm pressing so much because I'm in my neck. I just don't know when he would hear about. Like, when does he hear? Has he had to speak about it since he read that piece of paper they gave him to read? Has he had to talk about it?
I don't think he's even spoke about it since.
No, I don't think he's had to.
I don't think he has.
Walking out to fans screaming, "You suck, Jose! You did it! The buzzer!" He's not even walking out to that.
Right. Yeah, no, that's why I have a hard time buying into that it has anything to do with his mental approach in relation to the sign-stealing scandal. It's got to be show. It has to be tied to this dude has had so much success in the past doing it a certain way. And now all of a sudden it's not working to the degree, or really not working at all, but it's damn sure not working to the degree of an MVP. And he's just, you call it hard-headed if you want, call it frustrated if you want. But either way it goes, what we're watching, you're right, it's not about the sign-stealing scandal. And it's getting to the point where it's concerning to watch him consistently go up there and do it.
Yeah, see, is it me, and maybe I don't agree with the Winston thing, but I think what you're saying, it does feels like he's trying to hit a home run to homer himself out of this slump. Like that's it looks like he's just trying to go deep. And he's hit a couple here against Arizona, but that's what it looks like he's trying to do.
Well, Jameis Winston threw a couple touchdowns. I mean, that's the point, is every time Jameis Winston dropped back, the process never changed. Like, hey, man, if that backer pedals into the dig window, just check it down. Don't try to make this unbelievable throw over the top of a backer in front of it. Just check it down and live to see another day. Hey, Jose, when you go to the plate and we're in extra innings, man, is running on second. Don't swing for the fences, man. Take that low and outside pitch out to the right side of the infield at the very least and move the runner at the very least. Just quit dropping back and trying to get a chunk play every single time a pass plays.
Does it feel like
same thing?
Does it feel like Jose needs a day off? So he needs.
Put Toro at second.
Hell, Dusty might.
Put Toro at second. Let him lead off.
I would not be shocked if Abraham Toro gets a start.
Baker bomb.
I'm talking about gets the ball.
Hey,
I would be surprised if Abraham Toro, if he gives him the ball in the last game of this series.
Sure.
I wouldn't be surprised if he said, here, let you pitch, Abraham.
I'm just glad this football thing's here. I'm just glad these Texans are running in the corner because I ain't sure that these Astros, the wheels ain't coming out.
It looks like it. I think, but you're right. I think he needs something to change, someone to step in. all right, let me sit you down for a day so you can understand. Or, hey, Dusty, we're putting a hit and run on. We're going to put a hit and run so you have to swing the bat in a certain manner instead of top 10 or extra innings. I'm going for it all. I'm going to end it right now.
Am I crazy to think that Altuve is not beyond the manager who's a former player going, hey, man, I need you to go. I need this at bat to be about contact. Is that too elementary for a former MVP?
The way he's playing right now, I think somebody needs to do something to change him, to change his approach at something. And I think hit and run, which means you got to go to the hole where the hole is, go to left, go to right field, hit and run, and do that. Because in the 10th, anytime they're in the extra innings that he comes up, he's trying to end the game because now I'm back. And that has to get out of here. All right, Dallas Braden, former big league pitcher, and now he covers the Oakland A's for NBC Sports California, and he is not a fan of the Astros and hasn't been shy expressing his feelings towards them. We'll see what he's got to say. He'll join us coming up next.
Texans training camp is happening now. Live from the Twin Peaks Studios, Sports Radio 610 presents Clint Sterner and the show.
Oh, we about to have some fun now, Houston. Dallas Braden, former big league pitcher, but he covers the A's now for NBC Sports California. Dallas, so glad. I've been seeing you on social media. I love it. The beard game is serious. I mean, serious. I got to give you credit, man. I can't take that long to grow that, man. I can't do that. You got a lot of patience. But you're a pitcher. You played in the league. Where do you rate that as a baseball fight? Because somebody did go to the ground. Most baseball fights are stand arounds. But where do you rate that as a baseball fight?
It's not a fight. We don't ever really get to call baseball. That's what a big league fracas at best. A fight it is not. No, I need blood. I need blood, to even start entertaining a fight. Absolutely, make me bleed, or let me make you bleed. Then we can call it a fight. But yeah, that is not a fight. That is just a heated disagreement. That's really all baseball interaction ever really is, until sans the Jose Bautista and Rougned Odor meeting at second base, which I think we all remember.
Yes.
But you look at that, you classify that as a fight. You look at everything else that we saw yesterday, that's not really a fight.
Dallas, can we start off with what all went down with this weekend with the A's and the Astros? Before I get to that, I want to start with your opinion of the Joe Kelly situation with the suspension and what all went on with the Astros. What are your thoughts just on that entire situation that led up to the 8-game suspension?
Well, something I want to, I think, put in everybody's mind is just to remember, just because Joe Kelly wasn't on the roster of the team that you feel was directly impacted in that moment doesn't take away from the fact that Joe Kelly is a player in that league, and that Joe Kelly and probably some of Joe Kelly's friends and colleagues throughout the league were directly impacted by the transgressions of the Houston Astros. So just because he wasn't on that roster at that moment in time specifically doesn't mean he wasn't impacted, and definitely doesn't mean he, as a player in that game, doesn't have the right to police the game the way that he did, because that's something we all know within the game was going to happen. Look, as far as blood being on anybody's hands here, it's not Joe Kelly. It's not Ramon Laureano. It's not the Oakland A's. It's not the Dodgers. And frankly, at this point in time, I don't know that it's even the Astros anymore. I think it's a lot that has to do with the individuals who put these restrictions in place, thinking that everybody else across the sport, fans and players included, weren't looking at that going, oh, that's only adding gasoline to the fire. That's not very bright.
Well, hold on, Dallas. Let me try to get an understanding here. Are you saying that you don't find anything that Joe Kelly did wrong in that situation? Like you can't be throwing at people's heads. Not 96. Like you can't throw it.
Well, that's where we tell. Look, do you want to throw at anybody's head? No. But Joe Kelly, if I'll remind you, is also the individual who set up a bed mattress in front of his home, trying to dial in a changeup, and missed the entire mattress, threw a ball through the front window of his home. So when we're talking about the specific individual, I think it's been proven that things can get away from him at times. I would never be an advocate ever in throwing at a guy's head. That's just something you don't do. But when that ball gets away, Alex Bregman did exactly what you want to see a guy do. When he can drill, what do you do? Bat down, take it to first base, not a word, not a look, not anything. If there's anybody in the Astros lineup or on that team that has handled it the way that as a player you would expect and like to see somebody handle it, knowing and addressing and acknowledging what they've done, Alex Bregman has done a fine job of that.
So Dallas, since Joe Kelly can't hit a mattress, so he should be the last person who should be saying, I'm going to be the one to send message and throw it at somebody. Because he can't hit a damn mattress, so why should he be throwing it at somebody on purpose if he can't hit a damn mattress? You can never convince me throwing at somebody, especially high in the head area, is okay. We just need to – come on, Dallas. That was just wrong. You know he did that on purpose.
I'll tell you this right now. You and I are disagreeing about that, and it's because a message was sent and a message was received. And what did not happen is nobody got drilled in the head.
Well, can we fast forward? Let's fast forward to this weekend. Let's fast forward to this weekend and what went down. Do you think that any of the Lariano hit by pitches, you think any of those were sending a message, any were on purpose? And what is your opinion of the hitting coach, top step of the dugout, taunting a player that's actually in the process of going to first base?
Well, I'm not sure if everybody is aware of the entirety of the scenario. You got to remember Laureano and Bailey, those are two individuals that were flip-flopped for each other. And then with Castellanos, this is a young kid, right? But mm-hmm. He's also a young kid who happens to be the one who drilled him two out of the three times, the last time being a backup slider, which you saw Ramon Laureano try to do his best, which I thought was beautiful, to help out a fellow ball player and tell him, you know, you got to finish that thing out in front just a little more. You're really not snapping that slider off. Was that intentional, that last one? No, not at all. And does the emotion of everything that we understand, does that fuel what we experienced yesterday? Absolutely. I don't think anybody is disagreeing with that. So what you saw in Ramon Laureano was take his third hit by pitch from a former team in the Houston Astros, a team that essentially has suppressed the Oakland A's over the last two or three years. I would say three, but 2017 – the A's finished fifth in the division. Not much of a conversation to have there. But you think about 2018, 2019. This is a team who has been in second place to the Houston Astros based on the success that they had doing what we know to be against the rules. So there's fire there. But Ramon Laureano was going to first base, wasn't he? We've all seen the video. We've all seen it. He's on first base. And then the bench coach, not the player, not the player, not the pitcher, not a team. No. The bench coach. A bench coach, a part of a team who has been protected by the commissioner's office, feels like he is in the position to get up on the top step and start bumping his gums, chirping at a guy to the extent it gets very, very personal. And I played with a ton of Latin American individuals. I played winter ball in Puerto Rico, where Mr. Cintron is from. I have a very solid understanding of how you do and do not interact with individuals in that kind of moment. There's things that you just do not say. And what was said is, it's not my position to tell the world what was said, but it was strong enough to have that man, Ramon Laureano, at first base, put everything aside and bolt right at Alex Cintron, who conveniently was taunting and agitating the situation and then found himself behind three of his own players. And at no point in time when you watch the full video did Alex Cintron make any move to go and finish the conversation he was requesting to have with Ramon Laureano, nor did he make an effort to help any of the teammates that were rolling around on the ground because he got up on the top step, hiked his pant legs up, and wanted to talk about something.
Dallas, I'm listening. Dallas Braden with this former MLB pitcher, and he covers the A's right now for NBC Sports California. Listen, you're not going to get an argument from me. That was just soft to me. That was weak from Cintron, and I don't know what that was about. you won't get any argument from me. I didn't have a problem with Lariano. You hit me three times. I got some issues as well, especially two times. But I want you to be honest with me, Dallas. You were a little fiery back then when you played. Now, I want you to – if you're the pitcher and you accidentally hit a player and then that player on his way to first base is making a fool out of you, trying to teach you how to throw a slider or throw a certain pitch, you're going to be just good with him walking down to first base like that? Dallas, you ain't got no words for him. Come on now, that was a tad bit disrespectful from Lariano to the pitcher. I know as hell you wouldn't have taken that. I know you wouldn't have taken that if some hitter did that to you. Come on now, be honest.
I'm going to be extremely honest. If I was the individual who had just drilled this guy for the second time on accident or purpose, whatever, in a series, knowing he's already worn it once before, I've hit him two times, I would probably be ready and expecting any sort of reaction from him, even if it was on accident. And if he starts telling me that I need to turn my changeup over a little more, yeah, I'm not going to be happy about that at all. But that's the point, is what happened between Castellanos and Laureano on the way down to first base is something that you would expect, number one. And number two, something that I think you're okay with in terms of Castellanos' reaction. It's something I'm okay with in terms of Castellanos' reaction. And it's something I think we should all learn to live with, the fact that that interaction between pitcher and hitter occurred. He just got drilled for the third time, not happy about it. Let me show you how to snap this off. The pitcher doesn't like that. They're just getting ready to get swept. He's not throwing the ball great. So there's a lot of emotion going on in that moment right then and there. But again, it was all settled by the time Laureano got to first base or in the neighborhood of. The pitcher, Castellanos, was a non-factor at that point. And it became about the bench coach doing something that I still just can't wrap my head around.
Dallas, you can't lie, though. You'd sit around that old hotel bar and have a couple cold pops and think, man, that old boy was pretty – that was pretty creative.
I ain't never seen nobody do that in my life.
Pretty good.
It's quality. But that's the kind of – even in that moment, fellas, that's what I'm saying. Even in that moment, Ramon Laureano has the ability to flush whatever anger might have taken him directly to the mound without even stopping and thinking about telling him how to snap the slider off. He had already sort of moved past it, yeah. Right? Like, I've moved past the anger and we're now joking with you. I'm going to take my base, but I'm going to tell you how terrible you are. You've seen the scoreboard. You know you're about ready to drop the third game in a row. You know what's going down in the division. And I know you're not happy, but you're just going to take this right now.
Dallas, what about Dallas Braden, former big league pitcher, joining us, covers the A's for NBC Sports California. Hey, man, what about Dusty Baker? I mean, you're obviously familiar with him. He's a West Coast guy and been in baseball forever. He gets hired by the Houston Astros after A.J. Hinch is relieved of his duties. And to this point, man, I mean, there's been some tough spots for Dusty Baker. One of them, obviously, is him getting tossed out of games, popping off from the dugout, and then now the hitting coach popping off, and the Astros not necessarily playing up to par, even though they've handled some tough injuries, man. I mean, what do you think of Dusty Baker with the Houston Astros as of today and moving forward over the rest of this year and next year?
Well, I tell you what, you got to listen to my podcast with Barstool Sports, starting 9th, download, subscribe, leave a comment, because Dusty Baker, being the West Coast guy he is and me being the West Coast guy I am, I actually know Dusty Baker on a personal level, on a pretty personal level. I spent time with Dusty Baker out in a fishing boat on the San Joaquin Delta as a wee lad reeling in striped bass. So I've got a very good sense of who Dusty Baker is as a man, as a baseball man. And I said this the minute it happened, and I will say this until the minute he takes that uniform off. The best move the Houston Astros made was acquiring Dusty Baker, was signing Dusty Baker, because what did he do in that first press conference? He stood up there and turned around and took all the arrows in the back for a team, for an organization, for players he had nothing to do with, coming off one of the biggest scandals since the Black Sox. And that's why Dusty Baker is the man for that job, because all of the surrounding noise, everything that you want to get riled up about with the Houston Astros, he's a guy who understands when to put his arm around a guy, when to put his foot up his backside, how to motivate individuals and how to take those arrows from the media. So day one, when he took all of the pressure off of the players and basically put the ball in Rob Manfred's court and said, something's got to be done because we know how this season is going to go. We know that there's going to be retribution sought throughout the league. Dusty Baker had the foresight to put all of that on Rob Manfred's plate before the first pitch of the season.
Dallas Braden here with us, former big league pitcher, and he covers the A's for NBC Sports in California. I want to get you out with this one, man. I'm just curious, how big was this series in Oakland, being that the Astros have been the A's daddy here the last few years, and you've talked about it here, how much they've been better than the A's. How big was this series this weekend in Oakland?
Well, it was huge in terms of, I think, the players really believing what they have believed for a while, but needing to go out and prove it, if that makes sense. And it's that they feel like they're a better ball club. And let's not just negate something here. The Hall of Famer that you have on the shelf right now makes everything different. Yeah. A healthy Justin Verlander in that rotation makes everything different. Everything coming out of my mouth right now probably changes and has a slightly different tone if I don't have to worry about that dude taking the mound every 5 days. But since he's not and he's going to be done, I'm extremely confident in what I saw over the weekend, and I know those players are too, because maybe the Green Key Montas wipes each other out after that. I'm in love with what the starting rotation matchups look like, and I am in love with what those bullpen matchups look like. And as far as I'm concerned, the depth of the Oakland A's roster was on display, being able to plug and play guys when guys were getting moved around and the ejections occurred. Look, the depth is real, and what that series did is it solidified in the minds of the Oakland A's, we're the better ball club right now, we're the better ball club moving forward, and if Justin Verlander gives them a fighting chance and resurfaces in the postseason, we'll have our work cut out for us in that game.
Former big league pitcher Dallas Braden joining us on Sports Radio 610, Houston sports leader. Dallas, real quick, man, Altuve's struggling mightily right now, and it's here in Houston we're having a hard time wrapping our head around whether he's going to be able to get out of the slump in this shortened season and how long it's going to last. When you watch him over the last few games this past weekend, man, do you think he's in his head mentally because of the cheating scandal? Do you think he's just a great player in a slump? What are your thoughts when you see Altuve up there swinging?
We did a segment on this pregame, and it was a one-word thought about what we were seeing with some of the guys in the lineup, and the word that I used when it came to Altuve was confused. And because defensively, he just wasn't as sharp as we've seen him before, and we know him to be. Frankly, we expect him to be. And the aggression at the plate, I mean, I jokingly said, I think he's had six at-bats. I think he's swung at four first pitches. Like, he's swinging from the on-deck circle. And that's because he's probably not comfortable in working the at-bat right now, working the count, meaning there's an approach change or something that's going on with him mentally that he just doesn't feel comfortable or confident enough to maybe hit from behind in a count or work from behind. And he's been aggressive by nature his entire career. And something I think about is, if you were reliant upon a system that was giving you the answers to the test and now that system is gone, that's a reason why guys, you'll hear, say that they don't want to know. I don't want to know what's coming. Don't tell me, because you will innately become dependent on that system. As much as you might want to be the big, bad, brave guy who can take on 98 and spit on the 92 slider down and away, if it's championship season time and you get to know whether or not 92 slider is coming on the block or not, I think it's clear that some guys were like, yeah, tell me, let me know that. And now you don't have that resource. Now you're struggling. Like, oh man, was I really good enough? Well, the answer is yes. Like, I'm not so ignorant to tell you that Jose Altuve is a complete wash because he doesn't know what's coming now. That's ignorant to me. He is a great player, a tremendous caliber player. And I do think that with the noise going on around him, that is real. And to be able to compartmentalize that and go out and perform is not as easy as I think they anticipated it being. And let's be real, boys. The Astros have lucked out without having to show up to work and hearing people's opinions about what they did last year. So we can talk about the fights. We can talk about taunting people and all of that. Let's remember that, though, because that's why Astros fans like to go to the ball game, right? You guys like to let the other team know just how good they're not, just how much they can't compete with your boys out on the field. Well, the guys who did what they did last year and maybe cheated some fans and some other players out of that experience, they don't have to deal with that this year. That's a win, whether you're winning or losing.
All right, thank you. Dallas Braden with us. We enjoyed your conversation with you, man. We'll see you again. These Astros are CAs again, and we'll see what happens going forward.
We'll see you boys August 29th. Be sure to look up in the sky. We'll have another banner for you. Welcome.
Oh, God. You're lucky I ain't got time, man, because I saw what you just did there with Altuve, and I'm going to let it go because I got to go to break. But I don't like that. Just going to prove because he's cheating now. You know, like Jose Altuve's just been cheating the whole time, and that's why I can't hit. See, I'm about to get in trouble. My producer's getting mad at me. Get out of here, Dallas. You got to be kidding me, man. You got to be kidding me. Clint Sterner's Football at 4 coming up next.
If the Astros want to shut people up, go out there, stick those baseballs and their bats where the sun doesn't shine.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.